It's time for Agriculture, presented by Turkana Farms in Germantown, New York, a small-scale producer of heritage breed livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres. They also produce a full array of garden vegetables, many of them heirloom varieties raised naturally, as well as an assortment of berries, including raspberries, blackberries, gooseberries, black, red, and white currants, mulberries, and elderberries. And now, here's Mark Scherzer.
It's a week since the solar eclipse that had North America in a tizzy, and I'm still, as much as I was on that day, surprised. I know here I'm supposed to say I was surprised by the majesty of the heavens, or by the ability of a small actor like the moon with the right strategic moves to overcome the power of a far more powerful force like the sun, or by the ability of humans of all persuasions to unite in awe at the natural world. But for me, the surprise was more a la Peggy Lee. Is that all there is? I had not started with great expectations. My previous eclipse experiences had always been somewhat underwhelming. I had more or less resolved to just ignore it, since we were here in Germantown outside the path of totality. But then, over the pre-eclipse weekend, everyone was abuzz. I heard that the sun would be 96% covered here, that the local library was giving out eclipse-watching glasses and hosting an eclipse-watching event. Learning that the next total eclipse would not cross North America until 2044, a date past my actuarial shelf life, I began to think I shouldn't miss out. Returning from a night in the city with Eric, I drove my friend Steve back up here on the morning of the eclipse. We heard an animal behavior specialist on the radio suggesting that people whose pets suffered from anxiety should keep them indoors, leading Steve to relate his childhood eclipse tale of holding his hands over his dog's eyes the entire time to ensure they did not stare at the sun. The interview also suggested that people observe and report their animals' behavior during the eclipse for the advancement of science. Ah, a purpose. I could observe my sheep reacting. Would they panic, frightened of a phenomena that runs counter to their accustomed natural order? We might assume so, just as we in our ethnocentric way assume that less technologically advanced societies would be somehow frightened into thinking the world was coming to an end during an eclipse. Though it turns out many societies, close observers of nature, have had good senses of eclipses as naturally occurring cyclical phenomenon for centuries. Not having had the foresight to get eclipse glasses, I followed an online video to make a couple of pinhole viewing boxes. They worked well in the bright sunlight at 1 p.m. Looking through a hole I had cut in the right side of the box, I could see, projected through the pinhole, on the left side, at the far wall of the box, the perfect disk of the sun. About a half hour before the predicted time, Steve and I toddled out to the pasture where the sheep were grazing. There we were, two familiar faces, but looking down into the boxes we were carrying, sauntering at a slow and erratic pace and not coming over to say hello. We thought we were staying far enough away not to affect their movements. But from their perspective, we were behaving rather bizarrely, hanging out in the field but not coming to say hello, and looking down into those weird boxes. They are acutely aware creatures and wary of the unusual. The process of darkening was quite gradual, but it was hard to tell what was causing the change in the light, as the skies began to cloud over at roughly the same time the eclipse began. It got so cloudy that my pinhole projector hardly showed anything. Steve and I slowly began to move back toward the barn. As Steve moved, he shielded his own eyes from looking toward the sun by holding up his jacket, as if the sun's rays had some sort of different magical quality during the eclipse. I don't think the sheep had ever seen him walk that way. I sure hadn't. Uncharacteristically, only Doodle came over to say hello. Often, the herd seemed to be following Lale, the senior ewe. She is what Steve terms an inadvertent leader. She's always been a loner, often grazing at a fair distance from the rest of the flock. But sheep like to follow leaders, and her solo ventures could, I suppose, in their eyes, look like leadership. I've never observed them for a couple of hours at a distance before like this, so I can't say if their occasional following of Lale was unusual or simply coincidental. Overall, they were moving toward the barn in an arc that came nowhere near us, but in a slow, meandering way. Maybe their path was determined by a general sense that things were darkening. Maybe they were determined by Lale, or maybe they were simply making sure to keep us at a wary distance. I'm pretty sure we were a big factor. At the moment of peak coverage, it was like deep dusk here, but never so dark that the birds stopped chirping. Not as dark as the run-up to some heavy thunderstorms I've been through. And what did the sheep do just then? They went to their usual sleeping places and began settling in. No tremulous bleats over the imminent end of the world, just evening, falling earlier than expected. The chickens went inside, too. I didn't bother reporting this behavior anywhere. Is it significant that when it gets dark, animals prepare to go to sleep? I'm sure the eclipse in the path of totality was spectacular. From my sister and brother-in-law in Dinosaur Valley State Park, Texas, to my friends Arthur and Bernard in Chazy, New York, the pictures were awe-inspiring. Even places outside the path of totality, but where sunny skies prevailed, the eclipse seems to have been dramatic. But for us, as the look on our faces might have revealed, it was kind of a meh, and less a lesson in astronomy than the Heisenberg uncertainty principle applied in biology. You simply cannot observe behavior without affecting it.
Agriculture is underwritten by Turkana Farms, LLC, a small-scale producer of heritage-bred livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres in Germantown, New York. More information, 518-537-3815.